You know, I heard the wonderful NPR interview with you guys and have seen some of the videos that it's a really sort of different mixture of alt, you know, sort of alt country music and classical. And I was going to ask, in your collaborations previous to this, have there been sort of some interesting conversations that then brought you to together with Tift?
You mean between the two of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It was definitely a it was a challenge to figure out how we were going to do this together. I mean, I'm a fan of hers and she's a fan of mine and that's great, but then how do you put that together? And I think that maybe I was slightly more trying to make it work at the beginning. I think she was a bit nervous about how it would pan out. And I think that what we realized was that songs relate to each other in interesting ways, and it became not only a project about how to interpret each song, but how songs would be placed with each other. So having, you know, a Billie Holiday song and a Purcell song next to each other, and how those two songs would relate, or having, you know, the song by Brad Meldow going into a traditional Appalachian song, that it was about how music can speak across different boundaries.
I also imagine that it seems like we're in a little bit more of a free, we're a little more open, it seems like, these days. We're not quite in the old world of everything has to be 12-tone or everything has to be music concrete or whatnot. That the musical world these days are a little bit more open, even across genres. It's not, it doesn't have to fit into these small boxes.
I hope so. I mean, I think that there is an audience that is open to hearing explorations of genre, and then there are audiences that are really not. and hopefully there are more people. I actually think that one of the real benefits of digital music and listening to music by downloading it and the whole iPod phenomenon is that people have become much more experimental in what they will listen to. You know, if it costs 99 cents to try something new, you probably will try something new. And then also, because it can be shuffled around when you're listening, you might hear things out of context. You might hear a movement of this with a movement of that and a song from this person next to a band playing something else. And I think certainly for the younger generation, they're much more used to having eclectic tastes.
Yeah. Well, it does, as everyone sort of says, it sounds incredibly beautiful and easy, although it probably, you know, talking to you wasn't actually an easy journey. Does that sort of ring true? I mean, when I hear Hilary Hahn play Paganini, it looks easy, but I know it's incredibly hard.
Well, I definitely think that one of the things that should happen is that music should sound natural or easy. And if it sounds like it's effortful or you're you know, forcing something to happen, that's not great. You know, either forcing it technically or forcing it by trying to make something that in theory is a good idea, in reality maybe doesn't sound like such a good idea. I think that one of the things that I'm most proud of in what Tift and I were able to accomplish was that it really does, to both of us, sound very natural. And it doesn't sound like, we don't feel that we were compromising our artistic ideas or where we come from artistically. It felt like we were just coming together in a way that felt meaningful and true to both of us. So the songs tended, in the end, there was a theme that felt fairly introspective and serious and, you know, kind of almost sort of pared down. And that evolved very naturally and organically from the material we were working with. And I think sometimes you have to let the music come to its own balance, and that's the balance that our music found.
Yeah. Well, they are so lovely. It's a wonderful collection, as you're talking about effortless and the idea of it having different sounds. To me, I think it is so neat to hear the Cohen variations. And I guess this was sort of tailor-made for you guys. Is that correct?
Well, the Cohen variations, I commissioned the contemporary classical composer Daniel Felsenfeld to write for me. So it's a solo piano piece, but based on Leonard Cohen's song, Suzanne. And it was actually something that I commissioned before Tift and I started performing Night together. But it fits so beautifully into this program that we put it in there. And I think that is a piece that in many ways is more connected to contemporary classical music than anything else on this disc. You know, Danny being a composer who's dealing with, you know, the sounds, the harmonies of contemporary classical music, he was able to sort of bring that together with the singer-songwriter in him. And it's a piece that is on one level, it can sound very simple, but it's actually a very complicated piece of music. It has many voices. It's very subtle, very subtly written.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. His skill comes out in this, I think, a lot. And I think you bring it out in your playing beautifully.
Thank you.
In looking towards some of the discussions, I've heard and read the idea of adapting Schubert. You've sort of alluded, you know, you don't want to sort of offend a proper classical audience, but the idea of sort of a cover song, you know, is very natural in our world. You know, someone might cover another tune in sort of a different style or have a different take, and it's looked at as a tribute or something adding to the artistry, whether it's Michael Jackson covering the Beatles or whether it's, you know, Pomplamoose doing, you know, Single Ladies, that it's sort of happened in our, especially for younger people, that has happened now for, you know, 40, 50 years now since, you know, people do other sort of rock and pop tunes. But it is sort of foreign, although if we think about it, when a opera company does a new production, they're sort of covering Puccini, you know, even though they may not do the additional things. I thought that was, this is a really great treatment of Schubert.
Thanks. I mean, I think that the idea of a cover is something that is very foreign to traditional classical musicians or listeners of classical music, and that, you know, if you think about it, anybody who plays a piece of music that was written 300 years ago or 200 years ago is covering that song. But in the world of classical music, it's all about being respectful of the text, you know, trying to be as observant of every marking in the score as you possibly can be. And that can cause a feeling of being very limited in terms of your range of experimentation. And so doing this Schubert song with Tift was definitely a stretch for me, because I knew how I wanted it to be, and really I in many ways, I was a very strong part of arranging that song. I changed the piano part. I changed the register of where it is on the keyboard. I changed the rhythm of it. Even some of the chords I altered. She then wrote her own translation that was, you know, much more in the style of how she would write a piece of the words to a song. You know, we added in harmonica. I took over her melody for part of it. So we were really taking great liberties with the text. But at the same time, I felt that we were really getting at the core of that song and the feeling of the song, which I think has that feeling of looking ahead towards blues. And, of course, Schubert wouldn't have known that. And there probably are going to be purists who are outraged by it. But I think that, you know, you have to try to hear music in many different ways. And I think that this is certainly one way of hearing Schubert without, you know, playing every single note that he wrote.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me think of I can't remember if it's like Louis Armstrong or Leonard Bernstein said there are two kinds of music, good and bad. You know, you're going to have some good, you're going to do some good music, whether it's Schubert or Billie Holiday, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess I'd end asking, it's been so neat. I know you've collaborated with so many great folks. I know you have a wonderful series there in New York City. And it, the progression from the Goldbergs, Bach and Schubert, all these wonderful things. This, while this was probably a challenging project, this probably had to be really fun. I don't think I would have said, you know, when we talked maybe, you know, 8, 9 years ago that I would have said, you know, are you going to do any alt country? But this had to be probably a really fun to sort of document and get down in a recording.
It has been fun. I mean, I think that it's been much more of a serious project than people might think. You know, it's when I've talked to acquaintances about this project, they've said, "Oh, you know, what fun!" And of course, it's fun. It's always fun to work with a musician that is exciting and inspiring. It's been an intellectual project doing this. It's not been just jamming. I don't know how to jam, you know? So while it's been a very freeing project, it's been scary and it's been, as I said, it's intellectual. Both of us had to think very hard about what it is that we do and what it means to be interpreting music the way that we interpret it and what we can let go of and what we can do in terms of trying something new. And it certainly has made me think about trying lots of other new things in the future, including just the way I approach the classical repertoire that I play. It's made me think that actually there are many more ways of doing it than I had ever before imagined.
Oh, wow. Well, we're glad you wanted to, you know, think so hard and do something like this. And we'll look to much, much more.
Thank you so much.